Okay, go.
Okay. So this week's mitzvah in a compromise between your Parshas HaShavua and my Parshas HaShavua is the mitzvah of challah, which appears in your Parshas HaShavua primarily, but the back end of which appears in Korach. So just, you know, the simple facts are known to all of us, right? If you bake something, if you bake bread, let's say, with the chameshes haminim, with the five grains, you know, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye, I guess, is the last one, right? And you have a minimum shear of 43 and a half eggs worth. You take a little bit off, you make a bracha, you burn it. Bizman hazeh, that's the mitzvah of hafrashas challah, of separating challah from the regular yeast. Now, for some reason, and I have a theory, hafrashas challah has certainly in Israel taken on like outsized importance. Just a year or two ago, there was like among the weird things that happened here, we were supposed to like help make a wedding for this Chinese woman who was converting that day, marrying to some Haredi guy, some whole bizarre crazy thing. Anyway, in the middle of this wedding ceremony that never was completed for different reasons, these people, these women take out like a gigantic bowl to do hafrashas challah, which involves like a bunch of yihi ratzons that I never heard of, and prayers for sick people and dances, just like a whole ceremony they had never seen before, they had never understood before. But you see this all the time. At women gatherings in Israel, they have like hafrashas challah, where they all get together and the mafrish challah. Now, I understand that, you know, it's seen a little bit for a lot of reasons as a women's mitzvah, but there's something almost Kabbalistic about the importance it's taken on. Okay, that's less interesting to me than the objective halachic importance that the mitzvah of challah has taken on. You know, when you look in halacha, so challah falls into the same category as trumos and maestros and any of the things that you're mafresh from, you know, to be able to eat fruits and things like that. Okay? But here's the strange thing. Not a single person in this on this call has ever been mafresh trumos and maestros in Teaneck, New Jersey. But everybody is mafrish challah if they're lucky enough to bake, or their wives are. You know, we when Elka used to bake and, you know, bake challahs, we'd be mafrish challah. It's a mitzvah not only that theoretically applies in Chutz Laaretz, but lemaisa. Oh, Zev Skolnick, welcome. Baruch Rofei Cholim. Okay, we'll come back to you later. Anyway, lemaisa, people do it. Right, it's a mitzvah, and it's strange. It's a mitzvah hatolui ba'aretz. It's a mitzvah that really is based in the land of Israel only, and yet somehow it's done worldwide. Now the answer is, you know, Chazal kind of endorsed it, but I've always been fascinated by the question. It's really the only mitzvah hatolui ba'aretz that's noheg in Chutz La'aretz. Right, people are mafrish challah in Chutz La'aretz in a way that they don't do for any other mitzvah like it. Okay, eventually I want to get back to that point. Let's start at the beginning. Let's get some Meir Makomos here so we could learn. Here we go. Okay, everybody see it? Good, here we go. Psukim in Shlach. First source. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amar ta'alehem. Bivoachem el haaretz asher ani mevi etchem shama. So the simple pshat is, you know, it's a mitzvah hatzuliyah baaretz, because the mitzvah only applies, God says, you know, when we return, when you reach the land of Israel. By the way, if this is this week's parsha, you know, the theory is that after the Chet HaMeraglim and all the terrible things, and Jews were told they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a whole bunch of mitzvos that only apply in Eretz Yisrael to show that eventually we will get there. Okay, so challah is part of it. Pasuk Yutes, v'haya ba'acholchem milechem ha'aretz tarimu truma l'Hashem. When you eat from the lechem ha'aretz, again, just the land of Israel, you'll bring truma l'Hashem. It uses the word truma for what we think of as the mitzvah of challah. And what's the mitzvah? Reishit arisotechem chala tarim utruma, from the first of your yeast, I guess, or your dough, you should lift up a truma, ki trumat goren, just like the truma you would take from the threshing floor, from regular fruits, kein tarimu otah, so too you should take from yeast. And mereishit arisotechem titnu lashem truma ledorotechem, and you give it to God ledorotechem. Okay, so this is, of course, the headquarters for the mitzvah that you have to be mafrish chala when you bake a sufficient amount of dough. Okay, what's missing from this parsha is who do you give it to? Right, the pasuk says titnu lashem truma, but we don't give it to Hashem. We give it to a kohen. So where does that come? So that comes from the next parsha, from Korach. Source number two. There, the Torah tells us how the Leviim and the Kohanim had a job to keep people safe and keep them out of the Makom HaMikdash. And now here we have Perek Yud Chet, source number two. Vayidaber Hashem el Aharon, va'ani hinei natati lecha et mishmeret terumotai. I've made you in charge of guarding the Beit HaMikdash. Lechol kadshei b'nei Yisrael lecha netatim l'mashcha u'levarecha lecha kolam. I've given you to all of B'nai Yisrael for a holy something or other, and that will last forever. And here's the pasuk we need. Pasuk Yud Bet. Kol chelev yitzar, all gifts or separations of oil, v'chol chelev tirosh, of wine, v'dagan, of grain, that's us, reishitam ashe yitznu l'ashem l'cha netatim. The first takings, let's say, of challah, that would otherwise be given to God, lechanetatim. God is now giving over the right to receive challah from God himself to Kohanim. Okay, we'll see if that plays out in any way, but two separate parshios. One that says you have to be mafrish challah when you bake, and the other that says when you're mafrish challah that you bake, you should give it to the Kohen. Okay? So we will discuss in a few minutes whether that's one mitzvah or two, but that's the totality of the mitzvah we want to discuss, being mafrish and giving to a Kohen. Now, before we get further, we should point out the following, because I want to get back to this, but it at least hints at some of the uniqueness of the mitzvah of challah. Remember, we pointed out here, and I cleverly bolded it so you couldn't miss it, in the first line, the phrase is bivoachem el haaretz, when you come to the land, which we would have assumed, you know, means it's a mitzvah tzluya baaretz, you know, you have to be in Israel. But there's a very, very interesting drasha, which is accepted by all in source number three. The sifrei says as follows, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shina hakatuv biyazo mikol biyot shebat Torah. The pasuk uses a different language to describe this arriving in Eretz Yisrael, different than how it's described elsewhere. How's that? Shebichol biyot shebat Torah hu omer v'haya ki tavo el haaretz. Every other mitzvah hatzluya baaretz, the language is v'haya ki tavo el haaretz, or but here, hu omer, bivoachem. It's a different language. And here's the limud. Lelamedcha, to teach us, shekevan shenichnesu Yisrael la'aretz, miyad nitchayvu b'chala. Okay, it doesn't mean eventually you'll have a mitzvah of chala. It means immediately. Now, a little background. Generally speaking, when we have a mitzvah that says ki tavo el haaretz or v'haya ki v'yacha Hashem Elokecha, when you get to the land, the limud is as follows, that mitzvos hatzluyos ba'aretz didn't apply for the first 14 years. The first 7 years we fought to conquer the land, that's called sheva shekavshu. The second 7 years we divided the land amongst the shvatim, that's called Sheva Shechilku. So for 14 years, basically, we weren't really settled. I would say we had like a 14-year grace period before we got our act together, and mitzvos hatzuyos ba'aretz kicked in. But that's not the rule with respect to challah. Now, you could just say that's a technicality, but it's more than a technicality, okay? What did we eat until the day before we entered Eretz Yisrael?
Man.
The answer is man, okay? The very next day, now, people say, not that anybody knows, but it's an interesting discussion in Poskim, that the bracha that we made on man in the Midbar was Hamotzi lechem min hashamayim. Okay? And, you know, this already gets into the issue that lechem doesn't necessarily mean bread. In Tanakh, you know, lechem is also kind of a synonym for sustaining food. Look in source number 4. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that he's going to give us man, he says as follows, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hinini mamtir lechem, lechem min hashamayim. Now, you know, when you're a little kid, I guess if you know Hebrew, you think that like loaves of bread would literally rain down on us. But it doesn't mean that. It means sustaining food. V'yatzam, v'laktud, v'yomer, blah, blah, blah. Okay? But it's referred to as lechem min hashamayim. So all I want to point out before we get to any of the lumdus is historically on Tuesday, you know, I'm making this up, on the west side of the Yarden, we had man. We crossed the Yarden that afternoon. On Wednesday morning, we had to bake bread. Right? So lechem min haaretz was the obvious substitute for lechem min hashamayim. There wasn't a 14-year gap. The next day we needed bread, and the mitzvah of being mafrish challah already applied on the first day that we were in the land of Israel. Okay, that's the drasha on bevoachem el haaretz with, you know, some additional fancy ideas. Great. Now, let's start the halacha part. Here we go. The Rambam counts hafrash es challah, like everybody else, as a mitzvah in the Tayag mitzvahs. In source number 5, it's mitzvah number Kuf Lamed Gimel 133. And says the Rambam as follows. V'hamitzvah Kuf Lamed Gimel, hi shetzivanu lehafrish challah me'arisotenu. We have to separate challah from our dough. V'litna lekohen. Okay, so you would have seen it anyway, but I bolded it. The Rambam clearly sees two parts, what we could refer to as the Parsha in Shlach, in source number 1, and the Parsha in Korach, in source number 2. He sees them as two parts of one mitzvah. The mitzvah is called Challah. It encompasses separating Challah and giving it to the Kohen. V'hu amaro yitalevi yitbarach, the Pasuk says, Reshit arisotechem Challah tarimu truma. Right, the pasuk in Shlach, and he says all this is explained later on. And then he has an interesting line. He says, "Ve'ena chova min haTorah, ela be'eretz Yisrael levad." Says the Rambam, the mitzvah of challah is only midaoraisa in the land of Israel. What's he hinting at? He's of course hinting at the fact, or at least I read it this way, that it probably applies outside of the land of Israel, but not min haTorah. Or said more clearly, it applies outside the land of Israel, midirabbanan. Okay? That's the simple reading. So two points to remember in this Rambam. One, two parts to the mitzvah, hafrash es challah, and giving it to a Kohen. And it only applies min haTorah in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rambam writes it in a way that strongly implies that it applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, midrabbanan. Now contrast that, or compare it to source number 6. This is a Rambam kind of in the same grouping in the Sefer HaMitzvot. It's number 126. This is the mitzvah of Truma, where he says, HaMitzvah Kuf Chavav Hi Shetzivanu Lahotzi Truma Gidola. Now, what's missing in this Rambam? If it was like source number 5, it would say, Lahotzi truma gidola velitna lekohen. But it doesn't. Okay? And that stands out. Now, I warn you now, I'm not sure I have a great answer for that, but sometimes when you learn, you just have to be honest. You know, it's sitting out there. It's an obvious inconsistency in the Rambam. Why challah has two parts, separating and giving, and truma seems to have only one part, which is separating and not giving.
Does challah have to be eaten betara?
Yes, it does.
Okay, because otherwise it would be an obvious difference.
Yes, I know, but it would work the wrong way. But the answer is it does. Okay, last line in Kuf Chavav, in source number 6, he says, U'mitzvah zo eina noheges min ha-Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael. Which is almost worried. I don't know why ve'eina chovah min ha-Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael in 133, and here it's eina noheges min ha-Torah ela be'eretz Yisrael. There are a lot of people who claim you can't really make diyukim in the language in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, because as we all know, the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos in Arabic, and it was translated into Hebrew. So whenever, you know, it's hard to make a deal in a translation. But it's interesting just to note that they're lined up as parallel, that Truma is not Noeg min HaTorah only in Eretz Yisrael, but again, as I pointed out already, nobody takes Truma in Tinek, right? But again, the mitzvah of challah applies in Tinek. Okay, leave that. As we mentioned in source number 5, the Rambam has both parts of the mitzvah in one mitzvah. There's one mitzvah and it has two parts, hafrashas challah and nesina lekohen. The Ramban in source number 7 does not like this at all. The Ramban in Shoresh Yud Bet, okay, Shoresh Yud, the Shorashim, as we've mentioned before, there are 14 kind of foundational principles or rules that the Rambam uses to determine whether something gets counted in the 613 or not. So Shoresh Yud Bet, number 12, says the Rambam is, I don't count separate parts of a mitzvah are not counted separately. So again, most obvious case, the Dalet Minim is one mitzvah. It involves taking a lulav and an esrog and hadasim and haravos, but it's only one mitzvah. How do I know this? Because if I don't have haravos, I don't have the mitzvah. Each one of the dalet minim is ma'akev. And if it's ma'akev, then it proves that it's part of one mitzvah. Okay, now here's the Ramban. He's talking about challah, but he'll take it two lines. Says the Ramban in source number 7. Ki hadvarim hatovlim heim shtei mitzvot bevadai. Things that make tevel. Tevel is another word for treif, but it's the unique word that's applied to trumos umayasis and things like that, right? You know, if you grew oranges and you weren't mafresh from them in Eretz Yisrael, the oranges that you took from the tree are tevel. It means they're usur to eat. Okay? And he says, what's the proof? V'hamashal b'zeh hachalah. He says, I'll prove this idea to you through the mitzvah of challah. Shekein, kol ha'isa asura lanu, the entire bowl of dough is prohibited to us, ad shenafrish ota, until we separate challah from it. V'nitztavinu ba mitzvah nifredet, shene'emar challah tarimu truma, v'shelo ya'ale b'libeinu shenarim ota lahotzi ha'isa mi'isur v'na'azvena o nashlich ota ba'esh. You might have thought, says the Ramban, what I have to do is mafrish. I have to take off a portion of the dough for challah. Why? Because that now makes the rest of the bowl of dough edible. It now makes the rest of the bowl of dough kosher. Says the Ramban, no. Sivao tanu yitbarach binetinatenu lekohen, shenemar meirishit arisotechem titnu lashem teruma. Says the Ramban, there are two separate mitzvahs. There is a mitzvah to separate out the dough, but you can't just throw it out. There's another mitzvah that requires us to give the dough to a kohen. Okay, so in theory, it's kind of like just a theoretical machlokas. The Rambam puts both parts in one. The Ramban separates them. But it ought to mean slightly more than that, in that the Rambam sees the purpose, perhaps, the purpose of separating challah might be seen as giving it to a Kohen, whereas the Ramban says, no, they're two coincidentally connected, but in a certain respect, unrelated mitzvahs. One mitzvah is to kasher my bowl of dough by separating out part. The other mitzvah is the part that you separated out has to be given to a Kohen. Okay, that's just a technicality.
Ellie, can it be eaten as soon as it's separated, but before it's given to the Kohen?
Yes.
So it's like a matir for the eating.
So long as, right. That's generally, you know, and again, Bizman Hazeh, we don't give it to the Kohen. Let's just be clear. What happens, Bizman Hazeh, is the following, right? You separate the challah, but since challah has to be eaten b'tahara, and even Kohanim, Bizman Hazeh, who are exceptionally careful, are all Tamei Meis, and so they can't eat it, so we burn it, right? The minhag is to wrap, there are different minhagim. The minhag in the Weber household is to put it in tin foil, and you know, you just leave it in the stove for, I guess, for a few days till it gets like burnt to a crisp, and then you can throw it out. So it could be, by the way, that for the Rambam, you know, the mitzvah Bizman Hazeh is strange because it's missing half of its importance, right? You don't give it to the Kohen. Whereas for the Ramban, okay, you did one mitzvah, you separated it out. Ah, you didn't give it to a Kohen. Okay, that's a different mitzvah. So let's leave that for now. And let's take a break from the Lamdus and look at an amazing Sefer Achinuch who's going to suggest two separate but beautiful ideas for the mitzvah of challah. Okay, the Chinuch on your parsha, mitzvah Shin Pei Hei, says as follows. Mishar Shea Mitzvah. Amongst the rationales for the mitzvah of challah is as follows. Lefi Shechiyuto Shel Adam Bimizonot. Says the Chinuch, let's step back for a second and realize this, right? Man needs to eat. And I'll read into this something else, although I could be wrong. A person could live, I guess, without fruit, you know, but you need something sustaining you. So now you'll say, okay, celiac people, I guess they eat without, they live without bread. But for the most part, for most of us, right, we need to fill up. V'rov ha'olam yichyu b'lechem, right? The staple worldwide is bread. And you know, maybe we'll come back to this, but it's less so than it used to be. Right? You know, even when all of us went to Israel, you'll all remember that breakfast was bread plus some spread, you know, and supper was bread plus some spread. Lunch was kind of a real meal for us, right? That's how it works in most of the world. And, you know, people, my father, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, my mother always put out bread for supper. I think he just grew up in a world, like for him, I don't think it was a frum thing. They grew up in a world where a meal meant eating bread. And like psychologically, if you didn't eat bread, you didn't eat. Right? For us, that's not the case. Okay. So most people live on bread. Ratzah ha-makom lezakoteinu b'mitzvah timidit b'lachmeinu. So the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, wanted to give us a mitzvah that would always apply and would always apply to the core of our diet. Why? So that God's goodness would literally land on, you know, on the bread. A, we would be doing a mitzvah, so that's one merit for us, but not just any mitzvah. The mitzvah of challah turns a piece of bread into not just physically, you know, sustaining, but religiously and spiritually sustaining. Says the Chinuch, God took the most important food in our lives and said, I want it to not just be physical, I want it to be spiritual as well. And again, the Chinuch's general philosophy that God wants to be good to us and his goodness is more easily attached to us and to our belongings when we are good. So if challah becomes, if bread becomes not just, you know, a way to nourish us, But a way that we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it rises up a level and it becomes both physical and spiritual food. And the Chinuch, again, in many, many places, believes that the greatest magic in the world is the joining of physical and spiritual. Like the human body, we saw it in tzitzis, white and blue for tzitzis. White represents the physicality, blue represents the human soul, right? He thinks the greatest miracle God did for humanity was build a physical housing for a spiritual entity, namely the soul. That's the first idea. Now he has another idea. Two. Ki leman yichyu bo mishartei Hashem ha'uskim tamid ba'avodato. The second point of Chala is to be sustaining not to us, but to the mishartei Hashem, to the Kohanim who work in the Beit HaMikdash. Vehema Kohanim mibli yigia klal. Here's an important thing he says. He says, without them having to work for it. How does this work? She'ilu bitrumat hagoren. If you're talking about, you know, I don't know, fruits or vegetables or wheat, barley, grain. You know, if you're talking about stuff from the field, so let's say you go and you give a basket of wheat to the Kohen, yesh lahem amol leha'avir hatzua b'kivra v'litchonota. Okay, they then have to take it and sift it and grind it and winnow it and do all the things that are necessary. Aval kan, you already have the bread. Yavochu kam lahem mibli tzar shel klum. Now, I oversimplified. He says either way, either you bake the bread and now you're giving one of the parts of the already baked bread to the Kohen, or let's say it's still dough. Okay, but if you give him the dough, all he has to do is pop it in the oven. So two separate ideas. One is challah exists for our benefit, right? We recognize God's role in sustaining us uniquely through bread. By the way, I'm convinced that the same applies. We bench only on bread because bread represented a meal, and bread represents, you know, as almost a metaphor for God's involvement in our physical well-being. That's the first part. The second part is that we, by giving challah, we're sustaining Kohanim, not just in any kind of, you know, difficult way, but we're actually giving them ready to eat food. Just like Shalach Manos has to be ready to eat, challah is the only thing you give a Kohen that's ready to eat.
So then challah then is double because you've already given Truma and Maisers.
Excellent point. That's absolutely the case. Now that your challah is like the second. Yeah, I want to make a point. I want to mention that later. But you're absolutely right. The stuff you made challah from, you already mafresh Truma su Maisros. This is like a second bite at the apple, so to speak. Okay, let's just do the last bit of this chinuch. V'noheget bizcharimu nekevot. Even though we're all convinced that it only applies to women, the answer is of course not. It applies to men and women, and not to brag, but every few weeks, Alko lets me be mafresh challah. It's very exciting. Now, be'eretz Yisrael bilvad midoraita. But it's only midoraisa in the land of Israel. Shenemar ba'acholchem milechem haaretz. That's what we saw in source number one. And not only does it only apply in Eretz Yisrael, v'davka bizman shekol Yisrael sham, kilomar rubam, right? It's only when all of Bnei Yisrael are there, or all really means most. Shenemar bivoachem. Okay, that's another drasha that we didn't really talk about in the first source. So most people think, again, that challah bizman hazeh in Eretz Yisrael is still only drabanan, because the general approach is, we're still not Rov Yoshvel Aleha. I've already said that I believe that we are and that we did it. Okay, it doesn't matter. Uba parush al zeh, bibiyat kulchem v'lo bibiyat mitzatchem. It's when all the Jews live in Israel, not just when some of them live in Israel. And then he points out the next part. Umidivrei sofrim, but there is a mitzvah derabanan lahafrish chala b'chutz la'aretz. Right? To be mafish challah even in Tinek, And now a really cool line, which he didn't make up. It exists in the Gemara. Kidei shelo tishtakach Torah challah miYisrael. Why is there a mitzvah of challah in America? So that Torah's challah is not lost. Okay? It's very compelling. You go out, challah is really important. We don't want to forget the mitzvah of challah, so we have to do it in Chutz La'aretz. But again, what about all the other mitzvahs atluyos ba'aretz? Or I'll say this, I'm not 100% sure that it's true, but I'm pretty sure it's true. This is the only mitzvah of its type. Right? You see sometimes references to the fact that all mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz are just so that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you could do them for real. Here we've picked out one particular mitzvah, as if challah is critical to Jews in the exile. They have to remember the mitzvah of challah so that, you know, when they come back, they'll know how to do it. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Let's do one more fascinating machlokes harishonim, machlokes achronim, but it's a machlokes in terms of how we see the mitzvah. We have assumed until now, because everybody thinks so, to different extents, that challah is actually a mitzvah saseh min haTorah. And the answer is yes, challah is a mitzvah saseh min haTorah. But what type of mitzvah saseh is it? Okay, let's go back to last week when we talked about tzitzis. So we were very clear that lehalacha, tzitzis is a contingent mitzvah, right? If you wear a four-cornered garment, you have to wear tzitzis on it. If not, narrowly, mitzat hadin, originally, you wouldn't have to. Okay? And we've noted before, there are many, many, many mitzvahs like this. There are mitzvahs that are contingent, right? If you have a porch high up, you have to put a maka around it, right? If you have a house, you have to put a mezuzah on it, etc., etc. But in those cases, if it's if X, then Y. If X, then mitzvah. But it's clear that it's a mitzvah. Okay? It turns out it's a major machlokas whether this is a mitzvah at all. Here we go. You know, we'll go easier to see it that way. The Magen Avram in source number 11. Okay, it's a machlokas, I don't know, Magen Avram and Taz. If anybody's being really impressed by my Bekiyas, everybody quotes this. I would not know this. This is not the kind of thing I would know on my own. You know, a Magen Avram and Hilchos Tzitzit, you know, I'm not there. But the Magen Avram says as follows. Within Hilchos Tzitzit, he says in source number 11, Perish habracha v'ha'atifa shtehem yihyu ba'amida. The din is putting on tzitzis and the bracha on tzitzis should be done standing. He says v'tzarechiyun. Wait, I'm not sure about that. D'biyoredeya reish simon shin chavches. That's the simon that deals with challah. Mashma d'mutar levarech miyushav. V'hu mishne shleima. He says, you're allowed to make the bracha on challah while seated. And that's a mishnah. Everybody knows it's true. So how could I claim that the bracha of tzitzis has to be made standing when everybody knows you can make the bracha on challah when you're sitting? V'yesh lomar. Dehafrashat challah eino mitzvah kol kach. Says the Magen Avram, and he has much support for this. No, hafrashat challah is not really a mitzvah. It's a great line. Eino mitzvah kol kach. De eino oseh ela litaken ma'achalav. The only reason is, okay, I have a bowl of dough. In order to eat it, I have a challah. In order to eat it, I have to be mafrish challah from it. But that's just the way I get to eat it. It's not really a mitzvah. It's a matir. Dumya d'shchita. Right? What does he mean, dumya d'shchita? So he means as follows, right? If you're walking in the Golan and you pass a cow, nobody thinks if you didn't shecht it, you were mevatel a mitzvah, right? What's the mitzvah of shechita? So here's how the Rambam puts it in the beginning of Hilchos Shechita in source number 13. Mitzvat asei sheyishchot, mi sheyirtze le'echol b'sar behema chayavov. If a person wants to eat meat, so somebody has to shecht it. va'achar kach yochal, and then he can eat. Shema v'zavachta mi b'karcho mitzonecha. So it's true. It's counted in Taryag mitzvos. But it's not a mitzvah chiyuvit at all. It's never obligatory. It's just a matir. If I want to have a steak, I have to slaughter a cow. So yes, that turns shchita into a mitzvah, but not the kind of mitzvah that you should search out. Not the kind of mitzvah that you're so excited for. You don't have like a mitzvah party for shchita. It's just a thing that you have to do. Says the Magen Avraham, challah is a thing that you have to do. But it's not something that you should search out. It's not something that you're obligated in at all. Okay? Opposite view, the Taz. Source number 9. This is the Taz in Hilcha Shchita. Ela de b'shchita niretamo da'acher mivarech shapir. The Taz wants to know why the bracha on Shchita can be made by somebody who's not the Shochet. And the Taz says as follows. He kind of agrees with the Magen Avraham so far. He says, no, because shchita, it's not a mitzvah on the shochet. There's no chiyuv to slaughter if you don't want to eat the meat. Ela ikar ha-kavana latet shevach la-makom baruch hu al she'asar lanu achilat basar. It's a birchas ha-shevach. We're so grateful to God that he made rules that we can live with. That we're not allowed to eat a nevela, we have to only eat a behemoth, a shchuta. U'bezevadai kol Yisrael shayach bota bracha. So everybody can make that bracha, right? We're praising God for giving us rules of how we have to eat in our diet. Okay, anybody can make that bracha. And he says, what's a bracha like that? Under the chuppah, birchas erusin. See where the cursor is? Shahachatan ma'areis. What's the bracha? Asher asa lanu et ha'arayot, v'hitir lanu et ha'nesuot. Why doesn't the chassan make that bracha? So he says, the rabbi, the Masada Kedusha, makes the bracha. Digam sham mivarech al isur arayot she'asar l'chol Yisrael. Okay, there he's just talking about the rules that we live by. We praise God. He made rules saying we can't eat a nevela, we can only eat a slaughtered animal. He told us we can't have relations with women to whom we're not married. And we pray b'hafrashat truma hu ikar habrachot al mitzvat hafrasha lo al isur achilat tevel sharei mitzvat hafrasha chiyuv alav afilu imeno rotzeh la'achol min hatfuah adayin. Says the Taz, but with respect to the bracha on challah, that's a real bracha, and it has to be made by the person who's mafrish challah, because being mafrish challah is a real mitzvah. It's not just if you say to yourself, listen, I don't feel like eating this, so I'm not going to be mafrish challah. No, says the Taz, it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. You're obligated, you should look for opportunities to be mafrish challah. Okay, this reminds me of, it's interesting, like, if challah is kind of a spooky mitzvah, it's number 2 compared to Kan Tzipor, right? Everybody knows, because if you get Arichas Yom, if you do Kan Tzipor, that you're supposed to be spending your life running around looking for a bird and separating it from the eggs. So that seems like this machlokas. The Taz says, yeah, you're supposed to be baking challah. It's a mitzvah. It's a great thing to do, because then you could fulfill this obligation. And the Magen Avraham says, no, it's not. It's just if you want to bake challah, the only way you can eat the challah is if you separate a part for the kohen. But it's not a real mitzvah, okay? We could turn this into a philosophic discussion, but we don't have enough time. But you could do it on your own, right? It helps when you look at mitzvahs just generally to categorize them. And it's interesting in the categorization of mitzvahs that the Taz sees challah, I would say, as a parallel to something like tzitzis, right? It's a mitzvah you want to do. It's a mitzvah you want to be mechayiv yourself in. If you have a bowl, there's a chiyuv, even if you don't want to eat it. And the Magen Avraham says, no, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like Eved Ivri. Nobody thinks he's supposed to go out and get an Eved Ivri. If you have one, here are the rules that apply. But nobody thinks it's the kind of thing you should be aspiring to. Okay, the Rambam, I think, Paskins like the Taz. It's obviously not the right way to say it because the Taz lived after the Rambam. But the Rambam in source number 10 in Hilchos Bikurim says, Asur la adam la'asot isato pachot pachot mikishiyur kidei lepotro min achala. Right? The Rambam says, you're not allowed to separate your baking of challah so that each time you put it in the oven, it's less than the minimal amount. In that way, you won't have to be mafresh challah. I think the Magen Avraham would say, what's wrong with that? Right? So long as I'm not chayev to give challah, so I won't give challah. Here, the Rambam makes it sound like, no, you want to be mechayev yourself. Right? He doesn't allow you to do any tricks in order to get away with not being mafresh challah, which is interesting because he allows you to get away with tricks to not be mafresh trumas umaisos. I won't read 12, you can read it on your own, but the Rambam basically says in Hilchos Maaser Gimel Vav that whatever trick you want to allow yourself to not be mafresh trumas umaisos if you don't bring it into the house, you're allowed to do. Okay, fine. That's a major machlokus in terms of what the approach is, right? Is challah a mitzvah that we should be chasing? Or is challah something that, okay, like shechita, if you want to eat meat, you need to shech the cow, otherwise you'll be hungry. If you want to eat bread, you need to be mafresh challah. Now, all that is the halachic stuff. Just so you'll see it in source number 14, the mechaber says, b'sha'ah yafrish challah yibarech hashek ki dishanu b'mitzvotav etzibonu lahafrish truma. Just fascinating that in the Mechaber, the bracha is exactly the same as the bracha is on Truma. Right? They're indistinguishable in form, although in substance, again, we'll see that they're distinguishable. But the second one is the bracha that we make. Asher kidishem sivanu lahafrish chala, or most people say lahafrish chala min ha'isa, to separate chala from the dough. Okay? That's the bracha that we make, and you make it, you know, you kind of pull it out like a handful worth or whatever, and that's the mitzvah. Good. So we've seen, you know, two major machlokasim. Is it one mitzvah or is it two? Is it a real mitzvah that we want to pursue, or is it just a matzah that allows us to eat bread? All this to get back to the original question, which is, how did challah come to take on so much greater importance? How is it that challah is a mitzvah that applies in chutz la'aretz? How is it that challah has a description, kidei shelo tishtakach torat challah miYisrael, and not other halachos? What makes challah more important, right? Why does the Rambam let you cheat with respect to trumas umaisros, but not with respect to challah? So let's look together at one of the great medrashim. Most of you will be familiar with it. It's very famous, but it's wonderful. There was a guy named Turnus Rufus, a Roman general, and he richly earned the nickname that Chazal gave him, which is Harasha. He was a bad guy, a really bad guy. But for some reason, he had a relationship with Rabbi Akiva. There's a number of places where there's like a dialogue between Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. And we're about to look at one which I think will help us understand, you know, what's so unique about challah. Here we go. Shal Turnus Rufus Harashas Rabbi Akiva. He asked Rabbi Akiva the following. Eze ma'asim na'im. Whose actions are more pleasing? Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu o shel basar vadam? Of for God's actions or man's? So obviously the answer is God's actions. But says Rabbi Akiva, Amalo shel basar vadam na'im. No, Rabbi Akiva says, man's actions are better. Amalei Turnus Rufus Harasha, what are you talking about? Harei ha-shamayim v'ha'aretz, yachol ata la'asot kahem. And God made, it's funny that the Rasha is saying this, right? God made heaven and earth. You can't. So says Amalei Rabbi Akiva, no. Lo tomar li b'davar shehu l'mala min ha-briyot, she'ein sholtim b'hem. Of course, you can't compare things that man can't do and God can do. Ela bidvarim shehein mitzuyim bivnei adam. But if you ask me whose actions are more pleasing, God's or man's, with respect to things that human beings can do, then I say man. And then Turnus Rufus gives away the game and he says, Amalo, lama atem mulin. Right? Why are you circumcised? Now, in Romans hated circumcision because they worshipped the human body and they thought it was like, what's the word I'm looking for? The desecration of, this is some English word, can't remember. Okay, so Rabbi Kiva says to him, Oh my lo, af ani hayita yodea she'ata atid lomar like. I knew this is where the conversation was going, that you were going to try to talk to me about Bris Mila. Lekach hikdamti va'amarti lecha, that's why I said, Ma'aseh basar vadam hein na'im mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why I said that man's work is better than God's. And now Rabbi Akiva says, the point being, of course, that God made man not perfect with an arla, right? But human beings remove the arla during Bris Mila, and therefore human beings perfect that which God does. Okay, Rabbi Akiva has a bunch of examples. I only brought one down here, but this is the one we need. Rabbi Akiva says, Haviuli shibolim ugluskaot. Bring me wheat and loaves of bread. Amarlo, he says to Turnus Rufus, Elu, the wheat, ma'aseh kadosh baruch hu, that's what God made. Ve'elu, the bread, ma'aseh basar vadam. Ein elu na'im, right? It's a great point. Says Rabbi Akiva, God made wheat, but we made bread. And bread is an improvement on wheat. So you see that man can do better things than God. Another example he had was bring me flax and clothing. You see, we turn flax into clothing. Just to finish it, Amalei Turnus Rufus. Ho'il v'hu chafetz b'mila. If God wants you to be circumcised, lama eino yotze mahul mimeimo. So why did he make you circumcised? Could have just been born without a foreskin. Says Rabbi Akiva, lefi shalom natana kadosh baruch hu liyisrael ta mitzvot, ela kidei letzareif bahen. God gave us mitzvot. God gave us the world. For what purpose? So that we could perfect it. It means God made an imperfect world and told us to perfect it. That's our role in the world. And now I think this is an unbelievable idea. It turns out that baking bread is one of the most is one of the most creative things that we do, that we can do, right? Decided he didn't. God could have made a world in which bread grows, but he didn't make a world like that. He made a world in which we have to take the raw materials and turn them into bread. That means we have to do a godlike activity. Activities that are creative, activities that change raw materials into something advanced, that's playing God. Baking bread is one of the ways in which we improve on God's work. And anything we do that improves on God's work has to be done in a religious context. Because otherwise we'll think to ourselves, kochi va'otsem yadi asali etachai lazeh. I'll think, what does God have to do with it? So I think when you go back to it, if you imagine the history, and now you take it forward, right? God gave us lechem min hashamayim, and then told us, now that you've entered into the land of Israel, it's your responsibility. In the Midbar, that was like a God world, okay? God took care of all of our needs in the Midbar. Nobody got sick, people died, but everything was taken care of for us. We come into the land of Israel, now we have to take responsibility for the world. What's one of the first ways we take responsibility for the world? We take wheat and we act as if we're God and we turn it into bread. And that changes everything. And so bread becomes the mitzvah of challah, right? Why is it so important in Chutz La'aretz? Why did Chazal say that in Chutz La'aretz you should be mafrish challah so that you don't forget how to be mafrish challah? Because it's not just a religious act. There's a deep philosophy behind it. It's the godlike act where we say, we acknowledge that we're doing something godlike now. And how do we acknowledge that? By making a bracha. I'm sure that that's why benching relates to bread also. And when you think about it, benching also could have been a mitzvah hatzluya ba'aretz, right? V'achalta v'savata uveirachta et Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova asher natan lach. The simple reading of the pasuk is that you only bench in Eretz Yisrael. But of course, that could never be, because benching is too important to be left to be done only in Eretz Yisrael. And challah is too important to be left to be done in Eretz Yisrael, because challah represents not just, you know, a piece of bread. Challah represents food. When Adam HaRishon sinned, okay, think back this. I word searched lechem. Okay, so I assumed that lechem starts appearing around the man and stuff like that. No, it's at the beginning of the Torah. After Adam and Chava sin with the Eitz Hadas, God says, "Vizayat apecha tochal lechem." Adam, you're going to have to make, you know, you're going to have to make a living by the sweat of your brow. The word lechem, that doesn't necessarily mean bread. It means something much bigger. But to a certain extent, our relationship with God is seen through our relationship with bread. And if we see ourselves as partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through bread, that turns the mitzvah of challah into something much more significant philosophically. I don't want to say that just another mitzvah. I don't mean it in that way. But when you ask yourself, as I did at the beginning, how could it be that challah took on an importance, not just kind of, you know, in some Kabbalistic way, but halacha lemaisa, right? The din is that we make a bracha or mafrish challah in tinek, and not true musumaisus. And the answer is yeah, because challah represents something much bigger. Challah represents our partnership with Hashem. And it works in the other direction also. You can see the Rashi on the pasuk. The pasuk says, Me'rishit arisotechem, and the drasha is, V'lo kal arisotechem, meaning, if you wanted to give the whole bowl of dough, you're a big tzaddik. I don't want to give the kohen just a little bit. I want to give the kohen the whole bowl. The answer is no, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to share what you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu / the kohen, not to give him the whole thing, right? Baking challah represents our partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want that to remain. And so, you know, when you make a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, when you make a bracha of Lahafrish Challah Min Ha'isa, when you bench, what you're doing is saying, I just did something that God put me on this earth to do. He put me on this earth to perfect the world. So yes, of course, we think about that in terms of you know, curing disease and help. Baking bread is also a perfection of the world. Just like Bris Milah, obviously, is a perfection of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, could have made us circumcised, and he could have made bread. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to stop creation at a certain point and to leave the rest to us. And challah represents that. And that point is so significant that it could not be limited just to Eretz Yisrael. And so Chazal stepped in and said, the mitzvah of challah applies not just in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz as well, even though Bizman Hazeh, we don't have anybody to give the challah to, and all we do is burn it. All right?
Ellie,
yes.
Ellie, two things.
Josh, could I just say, finished? Thank you. Those are the points I want to make. Yes, now you.
No, I think that the Rambam supports what you're saying in holding the